fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men, but clock skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, the spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know this voice, it's Levin Miller. It's Friday. It's a Friday evening. Bam! And the people tired of working. I'm so happy to be here. I have no clue what you do at 11 o'clock. My mic sounds a bit strange. I have no clue what you do at 11 o'clock, but whatever you do at 11 o'clock, I'm happy that you're letting me do it with you. If you're driving in your car, you know the rule already. You can kind of just take the knob off of the radio. Don't throw it out of the window because I don't condone littering. Put it in your pocket when you get to wherever you're going. Toss it in the bin. You never need to move your radio. I'm going to be unleashed on your radio every weekday at 11. And that is... I can't think about anything better to do. I mean, it's the best thing I can think of, right? So I'm happy to have you here with me. If you've been following me any at all, you know that I've been doing a series, right? I've been inviting some of my old friends. March is Law Enforcement Month, and I have a bias. I don't even know what caused my bias. The Royal Bahamas Defense Force happens to be my favorite law enforcement agency, and as such, I've decided to bring a couple of my friends, some old soldiers in, and we're going to talk about some of the things that are... they have experience. A lot of times we think about the military, we think about ships and guns and uniforms, right? And we never factor in the human investment. We very rarely factor in what that human investment looks like on the other side of the gate. And so I've brought some of the people that I think have actually tailored many facets inside the organization, people that have mentored many of the people that are name brands today inside the organization, and people that have kind of left an indelible mark in the organization, whether it be for administrative purposes or for infantry purposes or whether it is for physical fitness, etc. So far, I've had two live grain berries, right? It's not every day you get to run into one of those. And we've also had some other people on, but today I've brought one of the people that I consider the pinnacle of administrative excellence, right? When I met him, he was the regulating petty officer. I had never heard of such a thing. And I want to say that whenever they created this position, they obviously did it for this man. Like, I've not seen anybody that has sat in the position of regulating petty officer or regulating chief that has quite done it the way that this man has done it. And so he joins me here this morning. And then, of course, with him is the senior chief PDI. He is the person that has been responsible for as long as I can remember for the physical fitness of the base. So when you see Her Majesty's men out there all looking like nothing more than walking chests and arms, this was the man that was responsible largely for over a decade for ensuring the fitness of the ship. Both have gone into retirement, I think, at 27 years and 29 years. And they're out giving back to regular society as civilians now. And I just want to know, what have they been up to? How have things been? And we'll chat a bit. Let me also say congratulations to my friends down there on board HMBS Coral Harbor. I see they are having a medal giveaway. It's like the Oprah Winfrey Show. Everybody gets a medal. You get a medal, you get two medals. Man, it is wonderful. And I see they're getting things like meritorious medals and distinguished service medals, which I thought you had to die to get one. I mean, hey, nobody was getting them when I was around, right? But today they're being given out, and I, you know, to the people that have qualified for them, I say, you know, good job, Bravo Zulu. Keep up the good work. Anyway, that's enough of that. So in studio with me this morning is Mr. Wade Riley and, of course, Mr. Raymond Sawyer. senior chief PDI, but petty officer retired. And of course, again, Wade Riley, petty officer retired. Your last position was regulating petty officer, correct? Sure. Regulating petty officer for HMBS Coral Harbor. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so which of you is the senior? Mr. Sawyer is. Okay, when did you get in, Mr. Sawyer?
I joined.
Right into the mic for me.
I joined April the 14th, 1980.
April 14th, 1980. What would you say were some of the thoughts going through your head? What age were you at?
I joined at age 20.
Okay. And what pushed you towards the gate?
Well, I was on my way to take the exam for Barco.
Mm-hmm.
And I never be late for nothing in my life. Sometimes, good Lord, put you where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Hilton that morning to do the exam 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time leaving home, I heard on the radio that the defense was doing an exam. I have an exam on Market Street, the Learning Resources Unit. So I reached the exam, 8:10.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman was doing the exam, and Vigilating said, we'll have to come back 12 o'clock.
Okay.
At that time, I was still working at City Market, so I said, I can't make it for 12. So I walked back up the hill, caught a ride from my government house on the Market Street, then hiked down to the Learning Resources Unit.
Mm-hmm.
Took the exam, they hired me. I did the interviews, and I was hired on the spot to come in and you went 3-5.
Okay.
At that time, I was on the road with the Music Makers. We had already won 2 parades straight, 77, 78.
Mm-hmm.
And we was going on 79. So
I think they've been one since that day.
Yeah.
But I pull the mic to you a little bit for me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I told them I had some classes to do.
Okay.
So I wouldn't be available until the following year because I would have been in November for the Christmas and that couldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So the following year, and a friend of mine, Howard, ironically, is because he wanted to be on the defense force. I wanted to go to Barco.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up in Freeport to Barco, and I ended up on the defense force.
Oh, yeah?
And he was in Freeport from 79.
So you enlisted on you said it was the 14th of...
April,
1980.
The first entry to train in Coral Harbor.
Okay.
So officially, that's entry one.
Okay.
Because they came
because everybody has trained at the police college.
I mean, we trained under the Oxen regulation.
What was it like when you got down in Coral Harbor? Because I imagine it was all shrubbery, right?
That's all it was, shrubbery. And we anytime we find a roadway, that was it.
Because Coral Harbor itself wasn't really a community at that time.
No, that was a marina, mm-hmm, hotel, and they was operating from the lighthouse depot, and we were the first coming out. When we went down there, they took us every day, the evening 5 o'clock, everybody had cutlass in hand.
Okay.
And the bark on the wharf, we chopped all the whole bark out there until we cleared. When we, on the parade ground, when we cleared the bush there, we found a roundabout that was a discovery.
Mm-hmm.
So life in Coral Harbor was great. So a lot of things happened during the time I got there because, one, the base burned
right
within a couple of weeks, and then the singing of
the flamingo. I'm thinking
it's like May 10th.
Yeah.
So all those things. So we went,
you would have been in training.
I was in training.
Wow.
Northgate burned during the time I was in training,
mm-hmm,
and the singing of flamingo.
Now, before I get to you, Mr. Riley, let me ask you, you're in training because a lot of people say that the flamingo is what pulled them towards the gate, right? But the flamingo hadn't happened before you.
No, I was.
So you got there, all right, the flamingo hadn't happened, you're in training.
Yes.
And there is reports of the sinking of the flamingo. And from what I hear on a national level, because my mommy was still trying to find where my daddy was in 1980, they didn't run into each other yet,
yeah,
right?
Right.
From what I understand on a national level, the sinking of Flamingo was probably the single most galvanizing thing in this country's history. Like, it was the one thing that got everybody wanting to serve. But you were already on the inside. What was going on in the mind of a 20-year-old man after you realized that, you know what, this is for real?
Well, I had nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. So if it was a war, I had to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the option. At that time, the trained officer came to us and said, to those who want to quit, it's your opportunity to leave now.
Yeah.
But I had nowhere to go.
Okay.
So 2 days that would keep me there. I couldn't go back to work
where
I came from.
Right.
And I did my job. And my good friend, David Tucker, who came from the food store with me.
Mm-hmm.
The last conversation we had, he came upstairs to me and he said, I will see you when I return. Because
mm-hmm,
I have to bring me back early to stand in Evans Redden.
Okay.
And that's the last conversation we had. So I knew three persons who went down on the boat.
Wow.
I knew David Tucker, personally, because we work in the food stores, young teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
Then I know Edward Williams, because he was being down like me.
Mm-hmm.
And Austin Smith missed the patrol earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, I don't know how the boat came in, but when the base burned, me and him were doing the rings, we cleaned up the place and all that. And he said, "Say, look here, my boat coming. I can see you.
He later. Going with Flamingo.
So where you guys be in place to go, you go.
Yeah.
So he left, and that was the last time I saw him. So I knew three out of four.
Wow.
You know.
All right. So, Mr. Riley, I think you are entry 10. 9. That's starring and feeling them. All right, good. So, entry 9, you're after the Flamingo. When is that? What is that like? Tell me what is the thing that pulled you towards the gig?
Morning again, Mr. Miller. Morning, Bahamas. Mm-hmm. It was the Sunday of Mother's Day. I was working in the hotel at Lowe's Paris Island Hotel and Villas, feeling ill because I'd ridden my bike to work and was coming home. And the security fellow, the booth attendant said, "Did you hear what happened?" I said, "No." "You didn't hear what happened?" I said, "No. Man, they just blew up one of our boats." And immediately, even though I was feeling ill, I became more ill. Because at first, originally, I'd condemned the forming of the Defense Force. And so my mind changed towards it. And when I wanted to enlist, my mother was against it. And coming from a single parent home, I had to call for backup, so I called for my dad. He was a former police officer. And so he said, if the boy wants to go, there's no reason we should stand in his way. And she said, but if he goes there, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. I said, well, Mom, you had 20 years to train me.
Yeah, to enjoy me.
And if you didn't train me well, then you need to worry. But if you train me well, you don't need to worry about anything. And so I said, really, the form has consent of parents, but I'm over 18. I don't need your permission. But I think as a child the way you brought me up, I'm seeking your permission. And that's how I entered the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, March 30th, 1981, one of the best entries.
You all say that.
Yeah. Okay, so you got in. About how old were you?
I was 20 at the time.
20. Yeah, y'all getting late. I mean, you know, I was 18 in 1 week. Man, listen, I didn't even take off my school uniform good yet before I joined the military. Yeah, I knew I wanted to do it. I told people I knew from the ninth grade I wanted to be a Defense Force Marine. It happened. My dad used to be a Carmichael Road bus driver.
Yeah,
and if you remember. A lot of people don't remember this, but I literally remember when Carmichael Road ended at where Bamboo Shack is now. And everything basically past that was like graded road and bush, right?
Yeah.
And so the Carmichael Road buses would turn around there. And one day my dad somehow ended up going all the way down to the detention center corner. And I now know it to be humping, right? But I saw some Marines dressed in full fatigues with the Galils, and they were, what I assume is humping towards Coral Harbor. And I said to myself, I want to do that. That is what I want to do, that right there. And I was in the ninth grade. That was when I discovered that I kind of wanted to be, you know, a grunt and go in. And I hated it afterwards, but but it was the thing that got me going towards the game.
Yeah.
So you've had opportunities to basically have careers that haven't mirrored one another very similarly. I think, well, when I met you gentlemen, you were around 23, 22 years, somewhere in that area. Like I said, Mr. Riley, you were the base regulating petty officer. And my greatest, the one memory, Mr. Sawyer, of Mr. Riley that I will never forget. I was a Marine seaman, shiny Marine seaman. So new, if you held my contract up, I would have no contract because the ink would slide off the paper.
Yeah.
Right? And I thought I served 11 years and I maintain this. Yeah. I am the standard. So if you want to know what the uniform should look like, find me. Because I'm wearing it exactly the way the book says, right?
Okay.
And so I walk past Mr. Riley and the captain at the time, Raymond Farquharson. And he looks at me, you know, but he keeps walking with the captain. They do the parade. Parade is ended. I'm on Tuppence Lane. If you've ever been on Coral Harbor, you know where it is. I'm on Tuppence Lane and Mr. Riley is standing under the veranda of training. And I hear him bellow in his voice, "Marine! Marine!" And he says, "Come here." So I march across the parade ground. He says, no, pick up a double. So I start jogging across the parade ground. He says, "Good morning, how are you?" I said, "I'm well. Do you know who I am?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Don't call me, sir. It's Petty Officer Riley." I said, "Yes, Petty Officer Riley." He says, "I've been meaning to tell you, you have an Irish pennant on your pocket right here." And I said to myself, is this man crazy? He says, "No, don't take it off here. I want you to go and square it away. And you had to report back to me at 1,000 hours and present yourself for inspection." And I couldn't get over that.
Yeah.
Because as far as I knew, I was the standard. I was the standard.
Yeah.
And so if you know what an Irish pennant is, for the people that are listening and aren't aware, it is literally a dangling piece of loose thread from a button or a pocket piece. Literally too small for the eye to see, right? But somehow Mr. Riley saw it, right? And that was my first memory of of Wade Riley, right? Yes. And I'm sure people all over the place will have similar stories of him. But how did you fit into that role? Or what route did your career take, Mr. Riley, that got you to become Wade Riley, Petty Officer Regulating of Coral Harbor?
Well, basically, like I say to most persons, the Defense Force really didn't teach me much in aspect, in that my home upbringing, my mother, we affectionately call my mother, Mrs. Rowena Riley, mm-hmm. Hitler and Gaddafi. That's affectionately we call her that. Mm-hmm. But she was very stern. And then I was in the Boys Brigade. The only thing the Defense Force really taught me was really how to come to attention, stand at ease, because on a ship, you don't stamp. You have to mm-hmm. drag your feet mm-hmm. towards each other. Mm-hmm. And there are means of the ropes. But we already had that in the Boys Brigade. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's been a treat. Mm-hmm. Living there, training, and then exiting. Now, exiting has been a total, total rude awakening. Mm-hmm. There seems to be a train out here that's out of control. People don't know how to come to work on time. People don't know how to execute what you give them to do. Mm-hmm. So I have had to be reclimatized mm-hmm. to understand that you're not dealing with persons that have been exposed to discipline. Mm-hmm. But my career path has taken me for 5 years with Mr. Sawyer.
Yeah.
After we graduated, well, he left me behind in T.G. Glover at that time, mm-hmm. which is just up the hill.
I went to T.G. Glover as well.
Excellent school. Mm-hmm. And we met again in the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. He protected me there. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud to say he protected me my 26 years
oh, yeah?
while in the Defense Force. No one bothered with you in school when they heard of Mr. Raymond. Well, I don't know where he got the name Ray from.
Yeah, I'm about to ask him that.
Yeah, but when you heard of Ray Sawyer, mm-hmm. everybody stood to attention even before we knew about the Defense Force.
Mr. Sawyer, I met you as the senior PTI, right? And I had no clue. I'm coming out of Prince William. As a young 18-year-old boy, very fresh. So fresh, I didn't even grow a mustache yet. And he wasn't there the first 2 weeks of training. I don't know where he was. But like Derek Richardson, we had heard the folk tale of Brave Sawyer, all right? And we knew something was different about him because, you know, PDIs wear the I call it the spandex shirt, right? They love them. They can't wait to put them on, right? So they walk around base all day in their spandex shirt with their PTI slacks on. And his own was red and white and blue. Everybody else had the single green and blue one. Not Braves. Braves was red and white. He almost looked like a Superman coming, right? And I said, well, what's going on with this guy? And I remember he got up on the dais and he says, all right, on your spots, go! And I remember that day being one of the first days that I considered whether or not the military was to me. No, seriously, like I remember him working us out until I almost vomited, right? And I said to myself, I am too smart for this. No, I'm really too smart. This isn't for people that are as smart as I am, right? But I had Simeon Gardner in here on Wednesday, and his admission is, you know, if you were looking for physical fitness, you were talking about Ray Sawyer,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
How did Raymond Sawyer become, you know, the pinnacle of physical excellence, and where did Brave come from?
Well, when MOP started, mm-hmm. MOP started with 18 of us. Mm-hmm. And so I was a
doctor. You remember the year?
MOP would have started roughly 81.
Okay.
It was 18 of us. And after a while, they start using it as a punishment. Yeah. You know, because when it started for one operation, we were supposed to go down to Norman's Key, raid Norman's Key, mm-hmm. and get back out. And so it ended up sticking together as a unit. And so when Phyllis was over hand, the then Commodore, then Leon Smith, just say, just send them up. Mm-hmm. So MOP had a crew of Phyllis was off the chain.
Y'all was the rowdy boys.
But they had Phyllis, and they had Waitson senior to me, mm-hmm. who couldn't deal with these Phyllis because they wasn't off the streets like me. Mm-hmm. So one day I tell the Leonard who was senior to me, I say, step aside and let the Brave take charge. And from that day to that, Brave stepped because now anything needed to be done back the day in MOP.
Yeah, yeah.
I was the man who was running the show.
Okay.
That's the Brave. Mm-hmm. And then people started coming in, out, in and out. At one stretch, we had, you might as well say, two department at one. We called the Bad Boy Crew mm-hmm. and the Nice Boys Crew. Mm-hmm. I tell what they very, very well overboard. They paint the room a rasta color. They turn it to a jump. No one is going to go to the room unless they tell me, go carry it.
Okay.
To get the fellas to come and wake up. So the camaraderie came there, that it was family. And I love it, yes, you know. Mm-hmm. We knew everybody by first name. Like, ah, now you got to call someone last name and the fence was, yeah. But same guy that came and joined in the second trench, because he came from intelligence.
All right.
And so when same guy that came, everybody was stared from him like a plague.
Yeah, yeah.
But he gravitated to me, and so I started teaching him how to weapons and all that. And then he was a formidable opponent because he was active like me.
Mm-hmm.
So we brought out the best of each other because we competed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you see there, they changed the name and then they lost their way.
Mm-hmm.
They lost their way. But because it's MOP, back in the day, it was a competitive thing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't nobody to say, I went and things because you had Fraser, Rumor, CI, Sham, all that. This was a big deal. So, and when we really got the real training, when Skolab came back, when WI came back, they decided to send one to MOP.
This would have been from the Green Beret Corps?
Yeah.
Okay.
One came to us, and so we was responsible for land duties, key searches, and doing patrols.
Mm.
So that's when we tell the Corporator, say, you was MOP, so we used to go to see with all the engineer. No radar, because he said we had Bob.
Right.
He's a wife. And so, over the when they took me out in 87, that was the worst day of my life. Because I remember Commander King coming to me and saying, Leading Seaman Sawyer, how do you feel about training? I said, I don't feel no way about it because I'm a bushman.
Yeah.
He said, Eddie, you come up here, after 2 weeks, if you don't like it, then you could go back to Mark. But you know, Commander King come for you, that's a done deal.
Yeah, yeah. And you're talking about DB King.
Yeah, yeah. One of the English. Right, yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. That was a done deal.
Yeah.
So I stayed up there training. And in 89, I said, you know something? I went to a sea training with the recruits on San Salvador 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought back memories of my corner boy and my squad mate, Rudolph Moxie, who died on San Salvador.
Okay.
When San Salvador burned, if 21 was missing.
Mm.
So I say, in honor of him, I'll just serve on San Salvador too.
Mm.
So I, during a year time on San Salvador too, they came to me and say, you're going to England to do this PDI course. Mm-hmm. It's just December now.
Right.
So I said, when the course will be? They said, April. I thought I'd give me time to get in shape because you know you're on the boat, you lay in right. You put right. Your weight, you enjoying life. So the young officer, Smith, came back to me and said, No, they say we go on December 28th. I say, I don't know who the we is, because you need to find out who can average you, right?
Yeah.
So we got upstairs, saw the corridor. I said, I don't take it. He said, you're going. I said, okay, back of a bike, and the rest was history. I was the first person to do it, and the only one to ever do it.
Yeah.
But I believe in sharing gifts and talent and developing people. Mm-hmm. So what I did, I trained people in a succession plan, because if you be in a system for 30 years and you don't develop one individual, you're a failure.
Yes.
And you had the people who were in charge of. So I trained people and I dressed them like me.
Yeah. I remember there was a little army of y'all running around.
I trained them and I dressed them like me because I thought that me. Then I said, you know something? Can't keep the secret to ourselves.
Right.
So I called the police.
Yeah.
Bring their crew in.
I remember you almost killed a couple of police
services.
That.
Yeah, the prison services they came in. I trained them. And I certified them and dressed them as PDIs. I say, now the secret is out.
Right.
Now you see why we are fitting everybody else. So
right.
Now you all have your own people to carry the program through.
Yeah.
And over the years, we have allowed it to dissipate because people start watering down to suit this one, the next one. No recruit supposed to ever leave training, but will be able to pass the fitness test.
Yeah.
It can never happen on my watch.
Yeah.
You know?
And Brave Sawyer don't mess around.
No, it can never happen on my
watch. I also remember you have one line, you know, we would be doing push-ups, right? Because, you know, the PDI stands up on top of the dais, right? And he always says, Ostrich, you realize if you lower your head, you can't see me, but I still could see you? Get up. I say, arms bendy and stretchy.
Yeah.
Bendy and stretchy. And literally, Brave would make you do push-ups until your arms fell off. Like, they would fall off, and he really wouldn't be caring at all. Okay, so who were some of the people that you ran into, Mr. Riley, in the early days that you credit for, I guess, turning into what Wade Riley became?
Well, when I entered training, you had persons like Force Chief Retired Lorenzo Williams, mm-hmm. Force Chief Retired Hubert Smith. Mm-hmm. You had persons like...
that should have been fun.
Chief Petty Officer Michael Hudson. Mm-hmm. He was a leading seaman, Cyril Sands. You had persons also like... well, he retired as a Force Chief, Luke Battle, but he was an able seaman when I joined. Mm-hmm. And then you had also the person that everybody said he's fair, but after 3 months, I had no fear. Yes, get it right. You think you're going to do it this right? You're going to do it the right or you're going to do it?
Yeah, one Clifford Scavala.
Clifford Scavala. So there was a cadre of persons that were in training. And mind you, we trained under the British. Mm-hmm. We didn't train under any Bahamian officers.
Okay.
And we trained under a British Commodore. And it's not to put down the Bahamians, but to show you that the when we went to report an instructor to Lieutenant Bash at the time, mm-hmm. he called the instructor. As he came to report to you, mm-hmm. deal with him. Mm-hmm. And so you learned right away.
You learned very quickly to not report
the instructor. Don't report the instructor. You report the instructor. It meant more. But there were some of them. And so then you had a William Miller when I passed through the training and went into communications. Mm-hmm. And he was passionate about it. And then I met he retired as a chief, Rex Adley. Mm-hmm. They were very passionate about communications. From there, I went aboard HMS Exum. I met a fellow that I thought he was crazy. Lieutenant Commander Bachelet Lafleur. Mm-hmm. Here we are in Exumo. We're told to sail for Kisal, no radar, one generator, mm-hmm. and two engines. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this man is serious, and he's leaving 12 o'clock. My first time going to sea. Mm-hmm. Frightened, petrified. Mm-hmm. And then he comes out, how long have we been on this course? You all didn't shake me. Wrong, going the wrong way, all to course. I'm like looking at the water. Yeah. And so I became even more that much frightened. Yeah. He's like, when last you all sighted Northwest Channel? Mm-hmm. So we didn't pick it up. All right, all to course. And next thing I know, we were in Bimini. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. And then we sailed for Kisal. And we got there that night. And so my respect for Lafleur, well, Lieutenant Commander Bachelor Lafleur, mm-hmm. picked up. Because here was a seaman that didn't need radar. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody used to speak sometime, mm-hmm. they won't go to see you, they meet this mm-hmm. and that. But working with him, I discovered he's one of the greatest CEOs that I worked with. Mm. Then I came across a James Wallace mm. from Rugged Island. Oh, not a good seaman. His uncle was Captain Scatty Munro. Mm-hmm. And he used to look at the water. Like, he's looking at the water and telling how, where you're going. Mm-hmm. But he was excellent. But I learned a lot from him, too, as well, because we subsequently met again on Yellow Elda after Command Lafleur. Mm-hmm. We were on Exuma together. For some reason, he followed the footsteps of Commander Lafleur. Mm. CEO of Exuma, he was EXO. CEO of Yellow Elda, he was EXO. Then he became CEO. Mm. And we had to come through Galley Cut. Mm-hmm. If anybody knows about that, that's a very dangerous cut when it's rough. Man, and we were towing a vessel in, we had a vessel in tow, and the tow broke loose. Mm. And he did not rest. He made us go up there. Everybody was frightened because here are the rocks. It's about to push this wooden craft onto the rocks. Threw the rope, didn't get it. Threw it again, and he started a piece of cussing. If y'all don't get that mud, and he started, mm-hmm. get it now. And the minute we got the rope on, the line on, and began to pull it, we realized where we were. If God had not put his hand on the boat ships, we would have landed smack on the rocks. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, these were some of the persons that actually had a great impact in my life. And there were others, Stretch Wiley, Anthony Colley. Mm-hmm. These were men who took the Defense Force very serious. And there's one character, I have to mention him, Ken Major. Mm-hmm. Now, as serious as you were in the Defense Force, mm-hmm. Ken Major, I subsequently discovered, was the son of Lawrence Major, who was the Assistant Commissioner of Police, mm-hmm. retired, but he's since deceased. And Ken used to come there, man, you're only talking to me. So everybody's like, well, who he is? So his brother used to be named Laurie. Mm-hmm. So Laurie's a sing. Mm-hmm. And so, when persons took the Defense Force to heart, Ken, you had a Ken Major come. Mm. You all dog can do, but you all get it right. Mm. And so it gave you a balance. Mm. But the Defense Force for me overall has enhanced me. It's helped me tremendously. I would encourage the parents of children in school where there's a Rangers program, let them join it. They may not want to join the Defense Force eventually, mm-hmm. but the discipline they will walk away with will be beneficial to them as a child, for them as parents, and for the country as a whole.
All right. I'm going to the break. You hear my music. I've got with me Mr. Riley, Petty Officer Retired, and Mr. Raymond Brave Sawyer, Petty Officer Retired. We're talking about life beyond the gate. We're going to have the conversation, more of it, when I get back on the next side.
the mountaintop and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Meet Jackie. Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity. We're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
For the past 33 years, Great Commission Ministries has been defending the poor and hurting, feeding the hungry, and sheltering the homeless. We invite you to support our Live to Give program and make a difference in these challenging times. Become a donor by giving a one-time annual gift or a monthly donation of $50 or $100. Call Great Commission Ministries at 325-5801 for more details. Or visit our headquarters at 237 Wolf Road. Join Live to Give today. This public service announcement is proudly sponsored by this radio station.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day.
Thank you so much for staying with me. I'm Levin Miller, I'm Unleashed. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. In case you want to talk to these soldiers, let me give you the numbers. 323-6232. Did I say that slow enough? Let me try it again. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259. Or you can text me at 422-4796. I have a text right here that says, "Good day. Ask Mr. Riley who still has the record for the most SLRs carried to the gate at one time. And tell Brave... tell the story of why they call them Brave. These men should also get medals. Often many of us do quite a bit, but never get the appreciation. Good job, guys." Who does have the record? I believe I have a squad mate. Derek Richardson made my squad mate take, I think it was 15 or 14 or 15 SLRs to the gate. And for those of you that do not know, the weight of the SLR, it's 9 pounds, 9 ounces, 9 pounds, 11 ounces with a fully loaded mag of 20 rounds. That carries a round caliber of 7.62. I will never forget that because Derek Richardson ensured that I never forget that. I know exactly how heavy an SLR is. But who has the record, Mr. Riley?
That can only come from one person, Mr. Darling. Because I was away on a course, and when I returned, he was leading Seaman Richardson at the time, was in front of the parade. But at that time, the regular force could not interfere with training. Mm-hmm. And while he was out there, they were in the back making fun. And I was standing at the rear of the parade, but they didn't know who I was. Mm-hmm. And so when it was all finished, leading Seaman Richardson at that time, he's retired as a chief, said, "Parade, this man," I said, "excuse me, leading, can I have these four men back here, please?" He said, "Yeah, leading Seaman Riley." When he said leading Seaman Riley, their faces dropped. Now, I think I'm a very lovable person. I think I'm very adorable. I think I'm actually cuddly.
So cuddly.
Yeah, but you know, these men, their face went into a sour dismay. And it gathered after that that there were some nasty stories being told about me.
Ah, yes. I wonder where they came from.
So when they heard my name and the look on their face, as if you were to double to the gate. So they figured it was an easy one. So I said, "Oh, no, no. Where do you think you're going? Come back here." I said, "Lynn Richardson, I need the weapons from all these men here." And so I piled the weapons on them, and they doubled to the gate. Now, when they returned after 10 laps, they figured that was it. I said, now you have 10 laps for me. And that's when Mr. Dallin wanted to drop his weapons. And that's when I got in his face and says, go right ahead. Please do. And it'll make it sorry. This is one review will cross you will never return from.
See, I tell you, these fellas are training for the war. Someone here says, you have one of the best Bahamian sons on your show, and Mr. Wade Riley, the Bahamas, will be very pleased to continue to use his gifts in the government of the Bahamas. Well, he's not. Well, kind of.
Brave, where you got the name.
Oh, yeah? No. Brave, where did the... But you said...
Yeah, they said it earlier.
Yeah, they gave you the name because the mob boys...
But it was two parties.
First part was you.
So here's another question. Who were the people that you ran into, Brave, that kind of caused you to end where you ended as the Brave Sawyer, PDI extraordinaire?
To decide to walk on that gate?
No, I mean the people that kind of shaped your career.
My career started from, you had two officers, Peter Judge, and Turnquest, Lieutenant Turnquest.
Eagle Eyes.
They were on WAP at the time, and they were my mentors. And I think if both of them had stayed in the Defense Force, I probably would have taken that route. And then gone to the officer side because
they really
kind of had me under their wing and kind of cared about me. And so when they came, the mob judge was in time and charged them up. And then you had people like Chisholm. Chisholm, I learned how to drill from Chisholm.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had C.D. Delo. C.D. Delo just used to punish me in Fraser just to get mixed up with our name.
Yeah.
You know, so people like that. So I started building my character from that. And it taught me patience because I really was short of patience. And to take things what they did. And Chief Corley. I watched Corley had me taking my trench and standing over me. I thought I'd imprisoned this man, wouldn't leave me alone then. When night fall, him and Dog Molly, Stafford Sars, right?
Yeah.
They said, okay, you and Daniel Adley, you all wicked, you all up at us, and you all got a CDF 1-6. So me and them, we got played dummy with him, with them two all night. And so they got to take a self, say, okay, win a drink tank, lose a drink water. They get it too good, right? So they drowned me and Daniel Adley with water because when one drop, the next one count, they blind, so only me and them can count to each other, right? So after they get tired, drink it tight, they say, okay, now, lose this drink tight, right? And we have all night there at the bus reach, 12:30. We have all night, we can go to CDF watch. And they, every day, so they taught me discipline.
Yeah.
Those brothers were taught up. Yeah. People going through the day on the first bus, they're getting pampered, man. We was hungry, but it paid off.
Someone says, good morning, Mr. Miller. Every time you do one of these series, it inspires me to let my son join the RBDF. And he's only 4. Keep up the good work.
Why, thank you.
Big up to my daughter, Chief Petty Officer Raquel
Adley.
Fowler. No,
Fowler. Oh, Fowler. Yes.
Great show as usual. Tell your guests my fiance took my... Man, you must be really hurt. This guy has texted me about 3 times this week about his Jordans that his fiance threw in the garbage. Do you want me to send Green Berets to come and get them for you? My 2 favorite junior Marines during my time. This is from somebody by the name of Gibby. The numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. I saw the calls. You can call me back. I'll come take the line. So you start preparing yourself to head towards the gate, gentlemen. What are the contemplations that you're making in your mind? You're men that the system had invested in heavily. At the time, you had already done retirement, which is the 25 years. But of course, you know, there's the option of 10 more years, right? Mm. You contemplated, many people contemplate whether or not they're going to go to the 35. But you start to look at the gate. I'm going to take this call. I want you to think about it. Mr. Riley, I'll come to you first and then Mr. Sawyer. That ain't good seniority. I'll come to Mr. Sawyer first then. Yeah. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Put this on.
Yeah, hey, put those headphones on for me. Hey.
Hey, Mr. Miller, how you doing, sir?
I'm in good shape.
All right, sir. I'd just like to say thank you to Mr. Riley for not shaking my hand when he first met me.
Oh, yeah.
He'd know who am I. He'd know who am I. And, you know, that experience changed me. And, man, he is a what you call it, a sweetheart.
Oh, yeah? Is he cuddly and adorable?
Well, I wouldn't know all of that. But, and guess what, Mr. Riley? My son is on the Defense Force as well.
Mm.
And so thank you very much, sir. And keep up the good work.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. So you're heading towards the gate, Mr. Sawyer. What are the thoughts that you're contemplating as you walk towards the gate, this time going in a different direction?
Yeah, okay. I always said, when I'm leaving, I have to leave better than I came in.
Mm-hmm.
So when I reached on year 20, I said I wanted to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to UB and I got a bachelor's degree in education
because
I wanted to be a natural transition.
Mm-hmm.
When I come out, because I was teaching all the time in the defense,
right.
I say natural transition. And only two places I wanted to go, either Simpson Penn or Program Shore.
Sure.
Because I don't think I could fit in the regular school system.
Right, right.
You know, I needed, and I think those two schools are a pilot runs for national service.
Right.
Because you have them under your control,
mm-hmm.
right? So I wanted that, but that never really materialized the way I wanted to. And when I retired, it just happened one morning I was sitting by my desk because, you know, the Defense Force, we operate on feelings, so normally people are not stayed where they're best suited because mm-hmm. we don't have no true career path.
Right.
I was supposed to be the subject matter expert on physical fitness.
Right.
At the end of my career, it found out that I was in that area too long, so I was made an accountant.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So one day I was sitting there, I said, I'm going to return some uniform to stores. And as I was coming back from stores, like the Lord just put something right in my head and say, why are you going back that way in Miss Pratt over there?
Mm-hmm.
Go to Miss Pratt and get out of this place. So I went to Miss Pratt, because I obviously was a teaser, Miss Pratt, where the paper? I ready to go home. So when I get there, I said, Miss Pratt, where this paper? Let me try to go. I'm talking foolish. You always and I said, I'm serious this time.
Yeah.
So I followed the form and I went back to the office and I told the crew, the staff, I said, look here.
That's
April,
me.
April 28th of next year,
mm-hmm.
that'll be me, I say. And what I will do, I'll train my last crew, mm-hmm. the PDIs.
Yeah.
I say, I'll get 10 from the, I was saying, it was 8 or 10 from the Defense Force, 2 from the prison, 2 from the police, and that'll be my last hurrah.
Yeah.
So I ran that course, special course of the prison now, and everybody benefiting from it.
I remember that.
So I wake up to the last. No, people is going pre-retirement.
Yeah, yeah.
I wait till last day.
I told okay. Derek Richardson the same thing. I remember being on an operation with Richie, and when I came to work the next day, they say, "Did you know Chief went into retirement?" I said, "What? We was just in the bush together. What are you talking about?"
No.
Yeah, and so and some people do have that kind of fortune. Let's take some more of these calls. Good morning, Carl. You're on.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Yes. Good morning. I just want to say it's a good show.
Mm-hmm.
You have two very distinguished guests today. This is Force Chief Petty Officer
Battle
retired.
Oh, how are you, Force?
Just wanted to say hello. You're doing well. You're all on target. And keep it going, man. You're doing well. You're putting us on the map again.
Thank you, sir.
And we expect nothing less from you, understand?
Yeah. Otherwise, I anticipate a flogging.
Indeed.
Precisely.
Indeed. Okay, good show.
Thank you, Force. Good morning, Carly. You're on. Carly, there?
Yes.
You're on.
You can hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, good morning. Let me start off by saying congratulations to all your defense forces, even you, Levan, who don't live a long time. Mm. My question is, I was wondering, like, how do our defense force rank in the Caribbean? I hear about Jamaica, defense force, Haiti. I was wondering, like, how we rank generally overall, not just, overall with everything. How do they rank us? And do you all guys know Defense Force Officer by the name of Milton Monroe or Ralph McKinney?
Okay. You want to hang up and listen?
Yeah, one last thing.
Go ahead.
A few years ago, with the poachers, then that boat was going to Cuba, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was, I think, they had a shootout at the Defense Force boat. I think they say stirrup or something with the captain or the
mm-hmm.
leader.
Mm-hmm.
Even one of these times, I don't know how long you'll be doing these stories, but maybe you could bring him on. I salute them, said who carry on. That time.
All right.
Good weekly, right?
Well, you'll be happy to know that William Starb just got himself a meritorious medal. I tell him I don't know. He got to be one of the luckiest guys around this place.
That's right.
But, yeah, so he's got a meritorious medal. But, Mr. Riley, compared to our Caribbean counterparts, what is your estimation?
Well, to answer your caller's query, the Bahamas, according... Well, the Bahamas is actually modeled after the Commonwealth Naval Forces, mm-hmm. Her Majesty's Forces. And the First Sea Lord... And invent you're not aware of what that means. He is the highest ranking person in Her Majesty's Naval Force.
Mm-hmm.
He commands respect from all of the armed forces within Great Britain itself. And on his visit, I'll never forget that. He visited all of the Caribbean nations, but the Bahamas was the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he said stood out, he said, the Bahamas Defense Force is one of the best little navies in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And he gave an example as to why. He said he went out to sea on one of our vessels, and he went to sea on other vessels in other countries. But during the Falkland Wars, and that is why when we are going to sea, everything has to be lashed down. What we call lashed down is it has to be secured. Mm-hmm. One of the missiles hit the Sherwood, and the impact from that side took a feathered pillow and embedded it into the steel on the other side. Mm-hmm. But he said the main gunner was taken out, and that's why the Sheffield suffered great damage. But he discovered in the Defense Force the cross-training in terms that the radio operator can also start the engines, mm-hmm. can actually put a course on, can actually steer a vessel, can actually do everyone's job on that particular vessel, even fire the weapons. And so he said there's one thing he's going to take back to the British Navy is that every person within the British Navy had to be cross-trained, because out of all the navies that he visited in the Bahamas, in the Caribbean, the Bahamas Defense Force is the only one that was multitask.
I want to take this out of there, that it is the best little navy in the region. That is what the quote was.
Yes.
Someone here says, Ray, this is Sim here. The force owes you a lot. And like I always tell people, you were my inspiration. Morning, how are you? I work to the prison, but love listening to your show, especially when you have the ex-Marines on live. Show, keep up the good work. Let's take this phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there?
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
I just want to say congratulations to those two gentlemen in there, especially Mr. Shortman Brave. This is Robbie Yenchi, 22.
I
couldn't believe they used to call a short man like you Brave.
Brave. And he wasn't very big.
the force chief, Luke Battle, just called in too.
Yeah.
All y'all was great men. Keep up the good work. I'm glad I met y'all.
I will say this, Robbie. I will say this, Robbie. If you ever got a taste of the Brave on the dais, you understood it instantly, though.
Yeah, well, okay. Good.
Appreciate you. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. The text writer says, before the month ends, why don't you try having someone from Air Wing? I'm going to work on that. I got some females coming next week. And then, who knows? I may have Air Wing people on Friday. We'll work on it. Let's see what I get together. Ask your guests, what is the biggest accomplishment and their biggest regrets, if they have any, on joining the Defense Force?
Well, I could say my biggest accomplishment is when I can see young men who I transformed from being a civilian into a fighting soldier.
Mm-hmm.
I have no regrets to joining the Defense Force. If I had to do it,
I don't have any either.
I'll return.
Yeah. Although in retrospect, I sometimes look at it as a civilian now and say, either I was crazy or on drugs, and I know I've never taken drugs. Yeah. Let's take the call, then, Mr. Riley. I'll come to you. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning, Mr. Mel. How you doing?
Hey, Sparky.
Yeah, would you believe Sparky got a little connection with the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, too?
Sparky, you know something? As I look at you, I could see we could have made a soldier out of you.
No, boy, you couldn't make no soldier out of me. I don't even like to drive out that far. You're going to round me up in a little bush. No. I don't like mosquito.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I have three family members that spent all their life on the Defense Force. I think two of them look like twins. One is Edwin and Michael Fountain.
Mm-hmm.
Too tall to talk.
Yeah. Wait, I know them. Mm-hmm.
And then also Greg Burroughs, the son of Mr. Doyle Burroughs.
Mm-hmm. He's trained by Mr. Raymond Sawyer. You know, Raymond Sawyer trained him to be a PDI.
I don't know what a PDI is, man. That sounds like somebody working in the PMH hospital. I don't know what a PDI is.
That's a physical training instructor.
Let me just tell you, every time you see one of them, Sparky, you might puke.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know.
Puking may happen today.
I'd rather see them rather than see the police. I see the police, I get scared. You know, they tell me the police is my friend, mm-hmm. but I don't know why, because they scare me.
Mm-hmm.
When I see the Defense Force in their immaculate white outfit, and whenever they are in any event,
mm-hmm.
it looks like they people to honor.
Mm-hmm.
Police look like people to run from.
Mm-hmm.
But they the ones who everybody tell you from. When I was growing up, my mother used to tell me, the police are your friends.
Police are your friends, Sparky.
But I was always scared of them because they don't turn out to be much people's friends.
Sometimes your friends can beat you up too, you know.
They only beat you up, but they do more than that. They're still going to kill you and then do their investigation on you. Too.
If not your friend Sparky, then who?
I can't trust an organization when a fella can kill somebody and then turn around and investigate himself. That's scary. Y'all have a good day. Congratulations to the Bahamas Defense Force. To me, anytime I'm a guy that loves to go to things like Independence, the Beat Retreat, and whenever I see you guys turn out in that white outfit and everything, y'all look like little black boys in white suits.
Appreciate you, Sparky. Tex Riley says, awesome show. RBDF is the best ever. Mr. Riley, you're heading towards the gate. What are the contemplations in your mind?
Well, your question for regret, Mr. Sawyer wouldn't say it. But before he passes, God forbids, anybody can confirm it with Lieutenant Commander F.A. Clark, Franklin Clark, retired. Mm-hmm. We were approached to become officers, mm-hmm. and we declined. So a lot of times when...
Someone just said, yeah, in a text, I didn't get to it. They said that they think you would have made the perfect Commodore, by the way.
And we declined it because at that time, Mr. Sawyer and I, we recognized that there was an attrition rate taking place within the junior enlisted ranks. Mm-hmm. And the junior enlisted really needed persons at the time to stand up, speak, and to fight for them. Because there are a lot of times, as Mr. Sawyer alluded to earlier, there are a lot of, sometimes we're behemoths and we have personal feelings and conflict that comes into play. And I would say that was our only regret. And what a lot of people don't realize, when you watch war movies with the British SAS, mm-hmm. the British Royal Marines, that's who Mr. Sawyer is. Mm. He trains Green Berets.
Yeah.
That's his training. He's an instructor that goes out there. So what you see a Green Beret can do, now, Mr. Sawyer didn't go on to the part of explosives, but when you see a Green Beret, Mr. Sawyer trains them to become who they are.
He actually went on the, whatever happened, we got 30 seconds, Brave. Sorry, Mr. Riley. We got 30 seconds left. I'm almost out of time. Where is the Green Beret, Mr. Sawyer?
Hey, sometime, the good Lord do all things for you now. Yeah, I mean, I can see that going wrong.
Yeah.
All I know is on when we're doing our endurance course. Mm-hmm. Instructor tell me to keep up with him. Mm-hmm. So, but then I just came back on my own, right in the back of him. Mm-hmm. So when I reached there, he tell me he failed me. So what then I could do? So he said, but I give you another chance. After the 30-mile, I come back and do it.
You come to the 30-mile right again?
No, after the 30-mile, uh-huh. come back and do the endurance course. Yeah. Well, your body doesn't break down after 30 miles. So yeah. I say, that's what's in for me.
Yeah.
Right? So 5 years later, you had all the Green Berets there in Kuala with the sin. But he chose me.
Yes.
So I say, the good Lord had that for me.
Yeah.
And he never sent nobody else to do it.
All right. Mr. Riley, Mr. Sawyer, I thank you all for coming. We are all the time. These 1 hour shows, they go by pretty quickly.
Yes.
But for whatever it's worth, we appreciate the service that you all have given the country. And I'm happy to have this opportunity to have you on with us. And if you got 30 seconds worth of a final closing word, I'll take that.
I have one regret, really. I wish the leaders of our country would come to the place to realize there's only one military force. Mm-hmm. Whether they like it or not, it's the creation of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. Mm-hmm. I would like to see our leaders allow the Defense Force to carry that national ensign. No longer should the police carry it. And while my father was a policeman, while my brothers are police officers, the only force that can really carry the national flag is the military.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Riley. You've had the last word. I'm Levin Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know the rule. It's Friday. Do everything in your power to make sure you don't kill anybody. Do even more in your power to ensure that nobody don't kill you. I'll see you right here on Monday when I get back. I'm Levin Miller. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the station for fresh news and smart talk. So don't move. They've got the news up next.